Our second reading is from the second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. In the time between Jesus sending the disciples out and our day, lots and lots of things have happened. The church went out into the world. The apostle Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And the early Christians began to work with what it means to actually be the church sent by Christ into the world. As in any place with human beings, sometimes it was pretty and sometimes it wasn't. And the church in Corinth actually had a number of challenges, not so much, well, partly because of the church's people within, but also because of the challenges of the culture outside. I wanted to share with you that this scripture text was chosen about 2 months ago for our time today. And so, as Chris anticipated, time in our country in terms of the election and the fact that there are always challenges in life, this scripture was chosen for this morning. So let's see how God can work in us and through us with us today. Listen to the word of God. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are grateful that your word meets us in all of the situations of our lives. And we pray this day, as we especially consider the brokenness in our world and our role as Christians in it, that you would strengthen us to be your ambassadors as you make your appeal through us. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's been a tumultuous few weeks, hasn't it? You will find an insert to your bulletin today updating you on our church's situation right now from the personnel committee. Please make sure you read that and continue to pray for our congregation in this time. The national election was a surprise to many. About half the country is happy with it. About half the country is not happy with it. I don't want to comment on either situation from any partisan standpoint this morning, but from a pastoral perspective. And to know that in a world full of changes, sometimes the greatest changes, they slap us in the face in some ways. But that's not that the world hasn't been changing before this. The world is always a place of change. Now, I would guess that you feel that way this week, as I do. And as we've been studying the connection between mission and faith over the past 8 weeks, we thought about what mission means. And we've had a number of wonderful testimonies, and we'll have another one today. And we think of mission usually as service to other people. But primarily, mission is about relationships. It's about how we bump into people in the world and how we plan to be with people and how we act and react among people, standing with them in their particular needs, sharing what resources we have to share with others, seeing Christ in our neighbor, learning from Christ through our neighbor. That has application to both mission and to our nation. When I first came to the Downers Grove Church in 1992, a long time ago, I began to hear this word bantered around. The word was Mendenhall. What's Mendenhall? Well, I finally found out that Mendenhall is a small town in south of Jackson, Mississippi. And we happen to have a connection with a mission there, Mendenhall Ministries. It was started in the 70s as a ministry of reconciliation for people, shall we say, on both sides of the tracks to bring people together. Grows out of Mendenhall Bible Church, and Mendenhall Ministries does a wonderful work of reconciliation, evangelism, social service help, things like that. So I was first introduced to this concept of Mendenhall, and we go to Mendenhall. Well, then I went to Mendenhall, and I began to put a few faces onto that name. And we had an ongoing relationship with that, and I hope they still do, as a matter of fact. When I got there in 92, our relationship with Mendenhall was at least 10 years old. And in the 16 years that I was there in Downers Grove, we went there every year, to do a mission trip, ostensibly, but also to learn and to grow with our brothers and sisters there. And as we helped, we found that we were helped. As we learned, we found that we grew. As we shared with others, we found that we were given so much more in return, and we were encouraged by that. And I began to think of Mendenhall after just a couple of years, not as a place on the map, but as a people and a relationship that we had with those folks, with Artis and with Dolphus and with Jennifer. And it was just really wonderful as I thought of that place to think of the interchange and all that God was doing to bring mission really to Downers Grove as well as to Mendenhall, Mississippi. Oftentimes we think of the mission partners that we have by a name, by an agency name, or by a place. Dave talked about Faraja School last week, or perhaps even a thing. Carol talked about the prayer shawls. We've heard a lot about rummage in our testimonies. And we hear these subjects or these things, and as we get more and more involved, we begin to put names and faces to this. Because the Faraja Ministry is not about the buildings that are there at Faraja School. It's about all the relationships with the children and the teachers and the churches in town and the opportunity for people to discover that we go there because we love them. And to find out that prayer shawl isn't really about a certain number of yards of yarn or the size of knitting needles, but about the relationship with people that are touched by the prayers and the relationships that come from that. Rummage itself, as you know, isn't about the things that we have, either in the basement or stored other places. It's about the ways that we bless people in their lives, and then with the money that they give us, we bless other people. So mission is about relationships. And relational mission is important because we live in a broken world. And Paul talks about how the brokenness needs to be brought back together. And he talks about the fact that there needs to be a ministry of reconciliation. Now, if there was no need for people to be reconciled to one another, Paul wouldn't mention that. But by stating that, God has led him to call us ambassadors and to call us to a ministry of reconciliation. It means there was brokenness there. There was estrangement in Corinth. And we've seen that all through the ages, and it happens in our lives as well. But Paul tells us this, first of all, that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. It harkens back to Genesis when God took the dirt and breathed life into it, and we were born. And all the generations since then, God has continued to breathe life in us. And God has given newness of life physically. But there's a spiritual newness that we are called to in Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ came. Not just to teach us, but to die on the cross and open the way for us to come to faith. And for God to see us, as Amy illustrated today, not in the red water, but in the clear water. And so everything Paul says, and this is a dramatic statement, everything is now new. Our perspective on God becomes new. In our connection with God, we find a foot planted on the earth and a foot planted into the destination of eternity. And we see God now as not someone far away, but as God who has entered into our hearts and who bridges those two worlds in us for the time that we have now and will welcome us into his presence later. Another bit of newness is our perspective on the world. We all understand that the world can be a dangerous place. And in Christ, we understand that danger, yes, is present, but danger does not ultimately prevail. We understand that there are opportunities for us. In the days and the lives that we have opportunities to help others, to reach out to others. And we need to welcome those opportunities when they come to us, rather than in the pace of our worlds, zipping by this and zipping by that. And we have a perspective on the allegiances that we have in the world as well. And we're reminded that as we are made new in Christ, we are born into the kingdom of God. And every other allegiance that we have in life becomes secondary to that. Our citizenship, Paul says, is in the kingdom of God. Our values are lodged in the kingdom of God. And our relationships flow from those values and that knowledge that we are part of God's kingdom. So our perspective on God changes, our perspective on the world changes, our perspective on our future and any future that is yet to come changes. Because we understand that God is working in and through us, and so the future is God-directed and it's God-purposed. That God's plan for righteousness and justice and love is paramount, and that's what we are to be about as well. that fear cannot reign because, as Jesus said, perfect love casts out fear. And so we welcome this new creation because it reminds us that God loves us. But as God calls us to the kingdom, it reminds us that God loves us, but not only us. And so our personal transformation then leads to a transformation in our relationships. Our reconciliation to God compels us to seek this for other people. So there's a natural regard now for others and for their welfare that comes as an important aspect of our faith. And this is the aspect that God invites us to continue to grow in. As we grow in the knowledge of the way God has forgiven us and blessed us, we can then grow in how we open our hands and our arms to those around us. And in a very amazing statement, Paul says, "We regard no one anymore from a human point of view." So as our perspective on God and the world and the future changes, it means that we look at the people around us in a different way as well. In our own recreation, we see others differently. No longer bound by human and societal categories, we see people through the eyes of the Savior, who loved all and gave himself for all. And I think it's especially important amidst all the categories and all the fragmentations that are in our world. You know, we can slice up the categories of our lives in all kinds of different ways. It can be everything from political affiliation to who we rooted for in the World Series, although I suppose none of that happened here about the World Series anyway. But it's important that we understand that we are brought together in Christ. And so we are called to live for others, however God calls us to do that. We are called to offer forgiveness to others, that as grace has been extended to us, we extend grace, we extend forgiveness to other people as well. And that reconciliation is oftentimes hard work, because it means moving from a place or a thing or a category into really getting to know people and getting to know them as human beings in their failings and their flaws, just as we have ours, to serve them and to give to them. And it's everyone's work. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Earl Palmer said years ago that there is no Christian doctrine of retirement, only discipleship with age variations. And you can just slice out a lot of ways too. Discipleship in economic variations, in educational variations, in vocational. We can look at it from any number of ways. And so the fact that we are all involved in mission, we've been doing these testimonies to see many ways that we can look at mission from different angles. And I'd like to invite John Gescheidel forward now to share with us his testimony about mission this morning. Thanks, John.
Good morning, everybody. It's an honor to be here today. Many of you know my family. We are very involved. We're a very involved family, largely due to my wife, Liz, who's the catalyst. She, when we got involved in the church, she volunteered for everything. So my kids started to volunteer. And all of a sudden, they're getting in all this activity, and I'm like, man, I got to step up. I got to show up here. So I decided to get involved. I started to think about how things I can be more involved in this church. And I'll never forget, I was talking to a prospective member of our church, and he was talking about the financial health of our church. And he said, well, what's your mission budget? What's that kind of, how much do you give? And I said, I gave him a range, and not knowing completely because it changes year to year. And he said, no, John, not the operating budget. The mission budget. And I said, no, that's it. He said, that's amazing. You give all that to so many? So I said, yeah, we do. So it got me thinking, maybe I should get involved in mission. So actually, I was on a mission to become involved in mission, and I started to look at leaders of our church. I looked at the Tolmes, who were obviously involved in the Faraja School. I looked at Jim Seymour, who's very involved in PADS. I looked at Fred Block, who's very involved in Soup Kitchen. I'm going, you know what? I'm going to take a look at all those. And it seems like all these leaders champion causes. So I said, well, I got to champion a cause. So I went to do all this stuff. I was involved in Neil School. I was involved in putting boxed lunches together for Church of Joy. I was involved in church stuff that I wasn't even involved in the church. But I hadn't championed anything. Then I would come home and I said to my wife, Liz, this is the greatest time. I'm helping with pads. I'm doing meal school. I'm putting box lunches together. And I realized that maybe I don't have to champion something. Maybe I just got to get involved. So the church and mission created who I am. So with that said, my time and talent is kind of a vagabond. I'm kind of like, oh, it's mission to mission. So anybody comes up with a mission, I'm your volunteer. I'm your guy. You don't have to champion something to be involved in something. And I just wanted to thank the church for allowing me to do this. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I loved your phrase, being on a mission to be involved in mission. And that's great. And sometimes we find that out immediately and it's very focused. Sometimes we do a number of things before we find our place. Sometimes we have a willing spirit like John's to be involved wherever the need is. But God works through us in the world, wherever we are, inviting us to be involved in mission in some way. And so God appoints us as ambassadors to meet others on behalf of Jesus Christ. One of the translators of this passage says that instead of saying we are ambassadors of Christ, our work has been specially assigned by Christ. So you're on special assignment, folks. You can do a 007 if you want or whatever, but you're on special assignment. We're all on special assignment for Christ because God makes his appeal through us. We meet that appeal, first of all, by prayer. Paul wrote to Timothy, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity." So all of the challenges of life are, first of all, bathed in prayer. Then, as we pray about things, we listen for how God would call us to act. And we listen for how God would call us to use our resources. And sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's our giving. As we're coming up to our Stewardship Commitment Sunday next week, I would certainly invite you to continue to pray about how that is part of your ministry of reconciliation as your ambassadorship in Jesus Christ. And then we do what Dick read to us this morning. We listen to Christ who says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are sent into the world. We are sent into the world. We're sent into the world around us. And I think the mission of reconciliation is doubly important now as we work through issues in our church, in our nation, as we continue to be involved in the missions that God has called us to do. There are things that we can do, and there are things that we can't do. We are called to do what we have each been called and can be about, to be reconciled to God, to be ambassadors of Christ, and to be one who goes with the peace of Christ to those around us. We don't know what lies ahead, but we can start today. As Paul said in his earlier letter to the church in Corinth, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose." We won't all do the same things, but we're united in our love for Christ, in embracing the ministry of reconciliation, in leaving this place as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Lord God, we're grateful that you have created opportunities for us to serve. And we pray, Lord God, that we each would be on a mission to find our mission in you. And that as we are called as partners in Christ's service, we would take the transformation we've been given in Christ and bring it as an offering into the world that needs to know your love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.